Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Augustine said it so beautifully. You made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you. Why are we anxious? Do you know why? It's because of exactly as Augustine put it. You made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you. It's that simple.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is finding rest in you. And now here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Welcome everyone. My name is Roland. The program is called Shedding Shackles. I've been on the air now for over 30 years, all over the country. And I bring a very simple message, and my message is this: you have to find your ground of being. You have to find the one who created thee, the one who made thee. Augustine said it so beautifully. He said, "You made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you." And that's what you must do. You must find your Creator. Why are you restless? Have you ever wondered? You feel restless. You feel anxious. You feel nervous. You feel uneasy. Something is wrong. Something's not quite right. What's that all about? Animals aren't restless. You put an animal in a cage, it's restless. But when the animal is free in nature, it's not restless at all. It goes about its business, looking for food, and then it rests. And then it finds some water, and it rests. Life is beautiful. We try to find relaxation. We take pills. We drink alcohol. We smoke marijuana. We listen to music. We get massages. All of these ways, we go on vacation. We come back feeling more drained and nervous than when we went. Why are we anxious? Do you know why? It's because of exactly as Augustine put it. You made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you. It's that simple. So now, can you find rest in God? How do you do that? That's what this program is all about. I would like to bring to life, to bring to life, such things that you have heard. You've heard about Jesus. He said, "My burden is light." He said, "Find rest in me." Was he just mouthing words? No, he meant it. And you've heard about the beautiful old Christian hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And you've heard, "There is a balm in Gilead that heals the sin sick soul." So why are our souls sick? Why? Because we're separated from the Father. Have you ever heard of the term separation anxiety? You've probably experienced it when you were a child, a little child, or as a parent when you had a little child. And all of a sudden, you were separated. You were reading or something, and you looked up, and you couldn't see your child. Where was your child? You looked around. She wasn't there. What did you experience? Separation anxiety. Well, that's what we all experience. Now you know the meaning of your restlessness. You know, life is not meaningless. Life has meaning and it has purpose, but you have to find it. Yeah, a wrong life, a selfish life, a life of self-seeking. See, let's be honest. Can we talk? You remember Joan Rivers used to say, "Can we talk?" Well, can we talk? Why don't you just be honest and admit that just about everything you do is selfish? You do everything for feelings. You want to feel good. You want to feel happy. You want to feel like people like you. You want to feel like you're being worshipped and you're being admired. And you want to feel good, and you don't like to feel bad. And when somebody doesn't see you in a good light, you hate them because they don't see you in a good light. So you use people. see? And you use things and substances, and you use food, and you use sex, and you use experiences, and you use music, and you even use poetry and nice verses. You use them all to make yourself feel good, to feel like God. And then you hate anything that doesn't make you feel good. It's selfish. You're nice to other people, so they'll be nice to you. You yell and scream at your kids to vent your pent-up anger toward your husband or toward your work. And then you see the hurt. You see your children hurting because you yelled at them. And then what? You feel guilty. So then you act extra nice. You give them money or give them food to try to take away the guilt. Trying to placate guilt. Instead of trying to placate guilt, why don't you find your Creator and let him lead you out of your selfishness into a world of wonderful joy. I'm a man with a microphone, so people ask, no, I don't have a church. I do not have a church. I'm just a person, and I open my mouth and I talk. And if what I say strikes a responsive chord, then that's good. Augustine said it so well. He said, "You made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you." That's the theme of today's program. You must find your Creator. But you cannot find him in a book. You can't find him in music or nice verses. You can't find him in a building. You can't find him in someone else's words. You can only find God within. You can only find God when your selfishness, when your wrong lifestyle that doesn't really bring you fulfillment. See, they make you a lot of promises, don't they? Because they're using you. See, you use other people. You want them to like you so you can feel good. You want them to entertain you. You want them to give you marijuana and pills and alcohol. You want them to make those for you so that you can feel good. So you're using them. And of course, you have to give them a lot of money in exchange. They're using you. They see your addiction. They see how hungry and greedy you are for something to take away the truth, something to take away the pain of seeing your own wrong. And so they charge a high price for their services, don't they? But anyway, when all of this leads you to begin to question and to wonder about life, and you begin to seek for your purpose in life, and when you begin to see that your resentments of other people is not right. See, you spent your whole life judging them and hating them. Hating your mom for yelling and screaming at you and your dad for not being there and the other kids for teasing you and your brother for teasing you and your sister for being mean to you and other people for taking advantage of you. That's right, you hated them. And you hated them if they were prettier than you or handsomer than you or they had more boyfriends or girlfriends than you. Or they had more money than you. And then you blamed God. And all of that. Well, isn't it time now you start letting go of that stuff? Don't you think it's about time that you let it go? And just take a little time to walk through life, wondering about its meaning and purpose, and seeking for the truth. Ah, yes, the truth. The truth will set you free from your selfishness. It'll set you free from your anxiety. It'll set you free from your resentments toward other people. But first, you'll have to bear a little bit of pain of seeing the truth. See, it's painful to see our own wrong. Especially, some of us have been very wrong, and we didn't want to admit it. That's right, we didn't want to admit it, especially our hatreds and our judgments and our resentments of other people. We hid them very well, and we smiled. On the surface, we smiled. But underneath, we were resentful. Now you have to see that and have to begin letting go of it. Your whole life is composed upon resentment. everything you've done, to get even, to show them, to prove to them, to get what you think you have coming. See, to get even with them, to find something better for yourself so you can throw it in their face. See, all of that's got to go. Or maybe you just sat around and hated other people and judged them. You felt superior to them. But now, perhaps you're ready. Now you're ready to do something very simple. To see people, see their mistakes, see their errors. But don't hate them. It's so simple. And to give up using other people, just go about your business. Do your job. And take care of your things. And stop paying attention to everybody else's wrong. Just let them go about their business and you go about your business. And if you stop hating people and resenting them and judging them, then you will discover that life is much better, much sweeter. So, please, may you get started. If you can see the need for not resenting people anymore, for just watching them and not hating them, if you can see the need for finding your Creator, then perhaps you're ready for the little meditation that I have. It's a very proper meditation, and it teaches you how to stand back, how to take a mental step back and watch and observe people and things without resenting them, without them penetrating you and bothering you and irritating you and upsetting you. It's spiritual discipline of the most simple and the most beautiful kind. It's learning to stand back and watch, and thereby being patient with others instead of resenting them, instead of being irritated by them. It's very important that you learn this secret.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, helping you navigate life's challenges with poise and confidence. Now you can listen to Shedding Shackles live streaming on your phone. Simply call 518-896-1902. That's 518-896-1902. Thanks for listening.
There is a beautiful passage in the Bible. Christ says to his disciples, he says, "The prince of the world is coming, but he has nothing in me." That's a very beautiful passage. We have been talking over the past couple of weeks about how things get inside. You know that if someone says something to you and it upsets you, then you keep thinking about it over and over. In other words, it got inside. If someone comes up to you and says something that you consider to be some kind of a personal affront, then you can't stop thinking about it. Or if the boss gives you some extra work and then you find out your coworker got a raise and you didn't, and you got the extra work, then you start thinking about it and can't stop thinking about it. Do you understand? It's the same with worry. Somehow it got inside, and then it haunts you, doesn't it? You remember that moment. Somehow it got inside and stayed inside. Well, we tend to think of memories, you know, all kinds of memories and nostalgia and everything. We think of them as being good, but you know what? Basically, every day should be fresh. Every day should be fresh so that you are free to discover and to learn, like when you were a little child. There's always something new to discover. So many memories, and now let's think about it. Many of the memories that keep coming back over and over were traumas, weren't they? Somebody did something to you or said something to you. You can't forget it. It's a trauma. The outside got on the inside. Now, let's hear again what Christ said to his disciples. He said, "The prince of the world is coming, but he has nothing in me." Now, here's another thing. You've heard of birds that migrate every year back to the same place. Things tend to go back to their origin for some sort of either a sense of completion, a sense of belonging, a sense of identity, or to reinforce themselves. Then every day you do certain things over and over. You keep going back. You go back for the same drink at Starbucks, and you put the radio onto the same station, and you do things over and over again. Somehow you reinforce what you are that way, don't you? Well, it's very simple. You can see the principle and see how it applies all over the place. So you can see how that happens. Well, now, can you also see then, by extension, that when something gets into you, and right now I'm not talking about matters metaphysical, although you can see how it's going to apply. It says in the Bible, that which is seen is made by that which is unseen. But can you see how that when something gets inside, then it has a life of its own? And it keeps going back over and over again, like a memory going back over and over. Or you go back to the same place where someone did something to you, and then later in life you find yourself doing the same thing to someone else. Just what they did to you, you're doing to someone else. It's it in you doing it. It's it going back to its place of origin to express itself for reinforcement, for comfort, for identity, for growth. So now I think you get it. Now do you see what trauma is? Something gets inside. It develops a life of its own. It gathers unto itself some of your substance. And then it wants to go back to the same type of situation, the same kind of person, the same kind of trauma over and over. So it becomes a bizarre comfort for it. Yeah, for it. It is life. It is comfort. And for you, well, what is it for you? Well, it in you craves to go back. And it haunts you. And it craves and craves and craves. And finally, you give in. And then temporarily, in that recapitulation of the moment of trauma, you have a bit of unconsciousness, a bit of unawareness. Guilt goes away. But then it comes back again, doesn't it, when awareness returns? So now do you understand what trauma is? So you don't want to have things in you, but things are in you. All kinds of memories are in you. Some of them admittedly are harmless, but some of them are not harmless. Some of them haunt you and torment you. Remember Paul's words. He said, the good that I would do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do, I do. He said, I can only come to the conclusion that it's the sin that's made a home in me that's doing it. Christ said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. So now I think maybe you understand, against the backdrop of what I've been saying, Christ was clean. There was nothing of sin in him. And it was beautiful because that left him totally free. Totally free. But none of you are free. None of you are free. You are dominated on all sides. You're dominated by your nagging wife, by your angry husband, by your spoiled kids, by your doctor bills, by your medications, by your bills, by your memories. You're dominated by your worries and your doubts and your fears. And you shake in your boots if you have to face your child's teacher or your boss or someone. You shake in your boots and you don't speak up to anyone. You're totally dominated by your friends. You have to walk around on eggshells. Make sure you don't rock the boat or pull the rug out from under them, because they'll pull the rug out from under you. Do you see that you're totally dominated on all sides? When you're not dominated by someone on the outside, then you're dominated by memories of the past, what she said, what he said. So now you can understand also what the Messiah said. He said, all who sin are slaves. Because there's an unwritten law, an inexorable unwritten law that hands the sinner over to the dominant sin, or to the dominant psychopath, or the dominant sociopath. You're handed over to whatever it is that you sinned. with. It will then dominate you in every aspect of your being. If you hate someone, let's say you hate someone, you hate your mother because she was cruel to you, or she was so clever and she always put you down. I'm just making something up. So you hated her. Well, then you know what? You will be totally dominated by her because you resented her. That's the sin, the resentment, the hate. That's the sin. So you'll be totally dominated by her. Isn't that true? But worse yet, something of her will get inside. And not only her personality, but what was inside of her? What was dominating her? What is dominating or was dominating her? And how did it get inside? It got inside when she sinned, when she hated her mother, for example, or hated her father. So the sin transfers to you. It gets inside you, either all at once, but most likely in a slow process. Through years and years of yielding to pressure and resenting and so on. It gets inside, and then it starts to take you over. Then you become her, secretly on the inside or overtly on the outside. Maybe that's good, because then you know her torment. See, you always judged her and hated her. Now, if it's inside of you, what was inside of her, now you'll have a chance to forgive her, because now you see what? Now you see the full truth. She wasn't deliberately cruel to you. She wasn't deliberately mean. She didn't deliberately reject you. There was something inside of her. It wouldn't let her be sweet. It wouldn't let her say she was sorry. And it tormented her and drove her to commit atrocities. And now it's in you. So you have to learn how to deal with it. You must become like Christ with nothing in you. But right now there is a lot in you. A lot is in you. So you can hear me. That's good. And you know that where I'm coming from is good. And you know that what I'm saying is true, and you know you want to be free, but you've tried struggling and it hasn't worked. So now what you need to do, and you have the meditation at your fingertips, at my website. All you have to do is go there, and it's free. 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 And use it. Now something in you won't want you to use it. It'll try to stop you. It'll make excuses and it'll say, well, you're not quite ready yet, or there's no use, or you should go do this instead. You don't need it. It's not good. There's something odd about it. It'll say all kinds of things, and it'll try to prevent you from meditating. I just want you to see that that's not you. If the real you wants to, the real you yearns for something pure and something sweet and something good. The real you yearns for the good you've never known. Everyone's always betrayed you. They seemed nice, and maybe they were sort of nice, but somehow they always betrayed you. Or they couldn't help you, which was also kind of a betrayal if they said they could help you. And yeah, temporarily you felt better when you got involved with them, but don't you see that when you're involved with them, then something of them gets inside of you? Can't you see that they're tempted, for the most part, they're tempting you. When you fall for their temptation, that's another sin. So what you need to do is take a mental step back. Take a step back. Get the little meditation. Use it. And take some time to get to know yourself. Let your hair down. Stop resenting other people. Stop thinking about what someone did to you or what she said to you. Stop trying to put on airs for other people or for God. Stop trying to save yourself. See, that's the other problem. You're trying to save yourself. That's also a sin. God saves you. You try to forgive yourself. No, God forgives you. Or you go around and say, oh, I forgive you. Try to forgive others. No, God forgives. So just go about your life as whatever you are, a student, a mom, unemployed, whatever you are, just be that for a while. And watch. Just watch people and watch the world and meditate. Remember what Augustine said. He said, you created us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you. Find your Creator. Let Him come into you, into your inner being. And He will deal with the remnants of sin that are in you now. He will deal with it. You mustn't try to deal with it yourself. It's too clever for you. It's too smart for you. It's way beyond you. Let him deal with it. And what can you do? Yearn for him. Yearn for truth. Let go of your resentments toward other people. Now you see they couldn't help themselves. Something was controlling them. Something was dominating them. So let it all go. Let it all go. Get the meditation. And like I always say, take 3 meditations a day. One in the morning, one at noon, and one in the evening. And you know what? Maybe, you know, if you're ready and if you're sincere, maybe it'll work for you. And if it does, it would be a godsend, and it would be the beginning of the most wonderful day of your life and the most wonderful adventure of your life. Not because I say so, but because that's the way it will be, by the grace of God. Did you know that my most popular book is The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage? A spiritual and practical look at relationships. My favorite chapter is How to Forgive and Forget. The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Check it out at Amazon.com or SheddingShackles.com. And if you stop hating people and resenting them and judging them, then you will discover that life is much better, much sweeter. So, please, may you get started. If you can see the need for not resenting people anymore, for just watching them and not hating them, if you can see the need for finding your Creator, then perhaps you're ready for the little meditation that I have. So now what you need to do, and you have the meditation at your fingertips, at my website. All you have to do is go there, and it's free. 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 And use it. Until next time, Lord willing, and a creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.